Hello, how are you all this morning? Good, that's good. I feel so tall every time that I come on this stage. I'm like, so tall. Well, it's good to be with you all this morning. It's always good to be back in Narendra and to be in church with everyone who was so important to me in my life growing up. I grew up in this church in Narendra, and many of you I used to call auntie and uncle, and we're all family, aren't we? So it's good to be back here. I'm just looking at those pictures from the kids club, and I popped my head in last weekend. I was actually here last weekend as well, and I popped my head in at the end of the kids club, and it certainly is louder than the pictures may indicate. But I was sitting there and I was just looking at all the children. And I was thinking, you know, there was probably around 45, did you say, or the week before there might have been 60 kids, and I was just sitting there and I was thinking, you know, in this 1.5 or 2 hours, what is it, 4:30, 2 hours? In this 2 hours of investment in a fortnight or a week, whatever you do it, that's 60 families that are being impacted in the community. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? For 2 hours, 60 families. It's not just 60 children, but those children come from families. So it's 60 children that are being impacted. And when you look at how many people might attend your high school, what would it be, like 300 kids maybe? 300? 30 kids attending youth is 10% of that high school, hearing the gospel and being loved on and coming around the word. So I think that's really encouraging, and I think maybe we could even give a clap to those guys who are there and involved. But, you know, it's no small thing, is it? If it was one person, it would be worth it, wouldn't it? But there's people coming, and it's an opportunity to speak into the next generation's lives and not just impact their lives but potentially impact their families. So I think that's really exciting. Okay, well, this morning I'm going to get into the Word so I don't take too long and you all don't start nodding off. And I'm going to read this morning from a passage of Scripture in Matthew 21. So if you want to turn there, Matthew 21, 18 to 22. It says, "In the morning, as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, he was hungry." Important facts. "And he noticed a fig tree beside the Lord. He went over to see if there were any figs, but there were only leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately the fig tree withered up. The disciples were amazed when they saw this and asked, how did the fig tree wither so quickly? Then Jesus told them, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it." So when you read this passage, a few things immediately come to mind. The first thing is Jesus was pretty harsh on that poor fig tree. The second thing is Jesus seems to get a bit edgy when he's hungry. Some people would call that hangry. Anyone else? Hangry people get hangry. It's church. You can be honest. We can be real. Yes, get a bit hangry when you get a bit hungry. But probably the most obvious thing that comes out when you read that is that it would be amazing to have that kind of faith, wouldn't it be? Where you can just speak and you see things happen. Does anyone in the room wish that they could have faith that when they spoke, things happened? Yes. Put your hand up. Come on, surely there's not only 10 of us. Yes. We want to be people who are able to speak and see things happen. You know, as I was thinking about this passage, I know that it references the fig tree in Mark. So I had a look at the accounts of this event in Mark 11, verses 12. It says again, Jesus was hungry. Again, that theme of the hangry man comes again. Jesus was hungry and he saw the fig tree in leaf. He went to find out if it had any fruit, but when he reached it, he found that it had nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. You know, the day before this fig incident, can we call it the fig incident? The fig tree incident? The day before the fig tree got fried, Jesus actually had been in Jerusalem and he'd been challenging the religious leaders there. And so when we see the story of the fig tree, it kind of comes in the middle of these two events, the day before Jesus is there challenging, you know, trying to outwork faith in that town. He was trying to outwork faith in Jerusalem. And he was challenged in that by the Pharisees, by the religious leaders. And, the day after, he wakes up in the morning and he's heading back to the temple where he's probably going to face the same kind of frustration, you could say. And, we all know that Jesus loves a parable, doesn't he? And so I was thinking about this just last night. I was thinking, in this story, he actually cursed the fig tree and it withered up and died. But in a way, it could have sort of been like an object lesson. Does anyone remember doing object lessons in like Sunday school where you'd, we did this one with a tea bag where you'd burn it and it was like the Holy Spirit and it was like an object lesson. But the fig tree, in a way, could have been a bit like an object lesson to the disciples. And, lately I've been thinking a lot about what faith means. Does anyone think about what faith means? At the recent state conference that we had down in Orange, we had these guys speaking to us and it was kind of a lot of interactive training, but they were just talking about the importance of faith in action through discipleship. And at the conference, we spent some time and we prayed in sort of small groups and did different things. And I found myself towards the end of the conference, just in my prayer, hearing myself pray, God, I don't want to be someone who just talks about my faith. I don't want to be someone who just reads about my faith, but I actually want to be challenged to be a doer. I want to be challenged to make my faith real. And it's really easy, isn't it, when we're in a church environment, where we come to church, where we're around Christian friends, where we're on social media following Christian people. It's really easy to just like hear these things and these words and these speakings that Jesus says and the teachings of Paul and things like that can really easily just become like inspirational quotes. You know, it can just become like, yes, you know, I've got the faith of a mustard seed. Hashtag faith forever. You know, like it can be like that, can't it? Like just inspirational quotes. But when you think about it, when you stop and you think about your faith, who wants to be somebody who does more than just talk about it? Who wants to be someone who's more than just preaches about it, who talks about it, who hashtags about it, who reads about it? I want to be someone who puts my faith in action. And so I found myself praying, Lord, I don't want to just talk about the things of God. I want to live them. I want to outwork them. I don't want to be a hearer. I want to be a doer. Does anyone else feel challenged by that? And so I've been thinking about that, and I've got to tell you, if I was putting it on a scale, I'd be 90% talker, 10% doer at this point. You know, I'm being honest with you. It's a challenge. It's a challenge, but it's something that I feel God really pushing his finger on in my life. He's like, hey, girly, are you going to do something about what you're talking about? Because you're a jolly good talker, you know? And so I'm being honest with you. Like, this is something that I'm sharing today is 100% just my ponderings, if that's okay. Like, just things that I'm pondering and I feel God challenging me. And so I'm going to challenge you because I don't like being challenged alone. And who knows? If we're in it together, we may have some more success. So can we today, just this morning, I'm telling you, this is my ponderings and my challenges and I'm passing them on to you, and maybe together we can run this race and see what God has for us, inspiring one another. Isn't that the purpose of church? Hey? Not to come together to just sing lovely songs, and that singing was beautiful and amazing, and you know, not just to do that, but to actually encourage one another to good works. Not just good conversations, but good works. And that's the point of the church. So we are here today. We are in the church. And I'm going to encourage you as much as I'm encouraging me to good works. So in this story, just in thinking about that, sometimes when you hear about talking about faith, you can kind of be like, oh, faith is like that outlandish kind of stuff, you know, the person on the street screaming out or whatever, you know, like we can kind of think, oh, if I've got to be bold in faith, it's got to be big, you know, that's how sometimes we can maybe make excuses for why we don't live a life of faith, because we think, oh, I just can't be that bold just yet. But in my thinking about faith, I've just been thinking about, what does my faith look like in my family? What does my faith look like in my workplace? What does my faith look like in my community when I'm with my friends? You know, maybe when I'm at footy on a Saturday afternoon and I'm talking to that mum who's telling me that she's struggling, what does my faith look like then? What does my faith look like when I'm running to, oh, Shaman's, that's what our supermarket's called, but Coles, you know? When I'm running into Coles to get those recess and lunch foods that I forgot to get for my children that day and I run into someone who looks like they're really struggling. What does my faith look like then? It doesn't have to be the big, large things, but being challenged to actually outwork my faith in the day today when I'm grabbing the groceries. Now, I don't know in this story whether Jesus was talking about moving a literal mountain, but he was heading back to the temple where he had just had a frustrating encounter with the people who were meant to be leading the people of God. And that's when he fries the fig tree, because it was not bearing fruit out of season. And he tells the disciples that if you have faith, you can speak to this mountain. You know, I thought that was interesting as I was reading over these passages last night. I thought it's interesting that he says you could speak to this mountain. And he was heading to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is on a mountain. And I was thinking, do you think he was talking about literally throwing the mountain in which that city was on into the sea, or is he talking metaphorically about the situation, about the mountain that he was facing, the trouble that he was facing, the frustration that he was facing? And, you know, it doesn't matter whether he was talking metaphoric mountains or he was talking literal mountains. Either way, what he's saying is, if you have faith and you actually believe in it, not just talk about it, but if you have faith and you actually believe in it, you will see change. And so this morning, I want to share with you a few thoughts, a few ponderings that I've been having about faith. And, you know, in thinking about this and pondering over this since we've been at the conference, I've been reading a few books about faith. And one of the books that I've been reading is this book called by Leo Harris called Keys to Faith. And I actually stole it from my dad's bookshelf and I have not given it back. Sorry, Dad. So I've been reading this book, and so some of the things that I want to share are influenced or come from his writing. So Leo Harris was the founder of the CRC movement, but he was a man of faith, and he saw a lot of amazing things happen. And so I want to just share some thoughts. So if you've got a phone, you can get out of Instagram or Facebook, young people, or whatever it is that you're on, and open your notes. If you've got paper and pen, I want to encourage you to get out your paper and notes. And maybe as we're going through these, maybe be open to God to ask him to highlight, you know, what it is that he could be pinpointing in your life, ways that he could be encouraging you to step out in faith. You know, maybe in this room right now you have a literal mountain, or maybe you have a metaphoric mountain happening in your life right now. I want to encourage you to listen to the words and to take on what we're saying and these steps and allow it to just speak into your heart. Because remember, Jesus said, if you have faith, you could even speak to that mountain and it will be thrown into the sea. If you believe it, you will speak it and you will see it. So let's get into it. The first point is that faith sets its own boundaries. What does this mean? It means that faith has limitless possibilities. Does that sound exciting? Sounds like like a James Bond movie, doesn't it? Limitless possibilities, right? But faith sets its own boundaries. It has limitless possibilities. You know, if we read through the scriptures, we see time and time again, Jesus emphasized the fact that faith's possibilities are unrestricted. Is that right? Through various circumstances and situations, we can see that there are no restrictions on faith. The thing that limits faith is, in fact, faith itself. That's a big concept. Do you want me to say it again? The thing that limits faith, the thing that puts limitation on faith, is faith itself. Let me explain that. If we look at the example of the fig tree, what did Jesus say? If you have faith and do not doubt, what's doubt? The opposite of faith? So if you have faith and you do not doubt, it also says if you can pray for anything and if you have faith, you will receive it. In other words, the only restrictions on faith are your doubts and your belief in the capability of your own faith. Does that make sense? So if you are doubting, it's a limitation on faith. If you don't believe that your faith is capable, it's a limitation on faith. Does that make sense? So the only thing that limits faith is, in fact, faith itself. Matthew 18:13 says, the faith, when he's talking about the faith of the Roman officer whose servant was sick, then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you believed it has happened, and the young servant was healed that same hour. Because you believed it has happened. Matthew 15:28, for the woman who had the daughter who was possessed, Jesus answered her and he said, your faith is great. It will be done as you wish. Mark 9:23, Jesus, when he's talking to the boy of the father who was demon possessed, he says, have mercy on us and help us if you can. This is the dad saying to Jesus. What do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. All through the Gospels, we see Jesus saying the same thing through multiple various different examples, isn't it? Your faith has made you well. Never before have I seen this kind of faith. You know, every time, because of your faith, you've been made well. Faith's possibilities are unlimited and unrestricted. And I think when we get that into us, when we truly get a revelation of that, imagine then how unrestricted we will be in our believing. Does that make sense? There is no restrictions on faith. Our faith is unlimited. The second point is that faith is an inward conviction. So faith is not a feeling. Real faith can produce feelings in us, but it is not a feeling. You can feel faith. Has anyone felt faith before? You know, it's like, I can feel the faith in the room. You know, you can feel faith, but it's not a feeling. Faith is not something that belongs to our mind. It's not something that belongs to our body. It belongs to the spirit. And God made us with an indwelling spirit. You know, Leo Harris writes in his book, Keys to Faith, he says, the real you, who wants to know who the real them is? Yes? I think we're all on a journey to discover that. The real you is the God-breathed spirit of life within your body. And that is where your faith belongs. That's who the real you is. And isn't that what 2 Corinthians 5:17 is talking about when it says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. That new creation is the God-breathed spirit in you. Every man and woman, whether they're a believer or not, has an indwelling spirit. And when we become saved, that spirit becomes, you know, when we get reconciled back to Christ, which it talks about in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that indwelling spirit becomes alive in God. That indwelling spirit becomes alive in God. And that's where our salvation comes from. So in the same way that our salvation is not a feeling or a thought, we're not saved because we feel like we're saved. We're not saved because we just think we're saved. Our salvation is something that happens to our inner man. Is that right? Our salvation happens as an inward change within us, within our spirit, where our spirit connects with the spirit of God and it's made new. In the same way, that is where our faith lives. Is everyone good? Yes? That's where our faith lives. And so thank God that our faith has nothing to do with our feelings. Because you could say, well, I just don't feel like I have the faith for that. Good news. Your faith doesn't come from how you feel. Your faith comes because it's in your spirit, because it's a part of your salvation gift. You know, you can say, I'm wrestling in my mind about this whole faith thing. Good news. Your faith doesn't come from your thinking. It comes from your spirit, man. Thank God for that. In Hebrews 11, so where does our faith come? Our belief and our inward conviction. So we also believe, 2 Corinthians 4 verses 13 says, yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had when he wrote in scripture, I believed, therefore I spoke. So where does our faith come from? Where does our faith come from? It comes from our belief in our inward conviction. So we also believe, don't we? We also believe, and so therefore we have the ability to speak, not because we feel like it, not because we think we've got it worked out, but because it comes from the inward man. Hebrews 11 verses 1 says that now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Where does our confidence and assurance come from? Our circumstances? From our feelings? From our thoughts? No, our assurance and our confidence comes from within, from our inward man, which is made alive in God, which is connected to the Spirit of God. That's where our confidence and our assurance comes from. Faith, therefore, is not a physical feeling. It's not mental reasoning. It's an inward conviction, an inward certainty. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say an inward certainty? It's in here, isn't it? It's like, even though everything that I'm looking at right now would cause my feelings and my mind to doubt, I have this inward certainty within my inner man that I have faith for this, that I'm going to get through this, that God is good, because it comes from the inner man. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? That inner man, it doesn't come from anything else. And so therefore, there's like a freedom, isn't it, in our expression of faith, because it has nothing to do with our outer body, with our flesh. It has to do with our inner man, which is made alive in God. It's something that belongs to the heart of who we are. You know, we're told that Christ dwells within. We're told that there's a kingdom within, that God's power works within, that the fullness of God indwells us. Did you hear that? The fullness of God makes its home within us. The Holy Spirit abides in all who have received him. That is all what is within us. They are all aspects of faith. So faith is also within. That means that our healing comes from within. That means the answers to our prayer come from within. Not from up here, from within. We receive it first in here because we believe it. We receive it first in our spirit. We receive that healing in our spirit, and then it manifests in the physical. We can walk around declaring our healing and believing that we're healed before we see the healing, because it's in the inward man. Does that make sense this morning? It comes from within. Feelings don't produce faith. Our mind doesn't conjure faith or reason faith. And I think there's a reason for that. Because that would mean that our faith is limited. Is that right? But because it comes from within, our faith is not limited. Our faith is an inward conviction of the heart. And that word conviction means a firmly held belief. One who is firmly convinced of a belief. That's why we can say that we have, that faith is confidence and assurance of things that are yet to be seen. Number three. We all have faith potential. In other words, we all have the ability to believe. The faith or ability to believe is born in us as part of having that indwelling spirit. And do you know how we can know that we all have the ability to have faith? The fact that you have faith is evidenced by the fact that you have fear. Anyone got fear in the house? Anyone experienced fear from time to time? The fact that you have fear is evidence that you're capable of having faith. I'm not talking about the type of fear where there's like a big dog running into church and you're like, ah, that's scary. Like, not that self-preservation fear where it's kind of like actual danger and your body needs to react. That's a natural emotion. I'm talking about the type of fear that takes possession of us. Do you know what I'm talking about? The type of fear that torments us, the type of fear that can be at times overwhelming, a controlling kind of force in our life. The fact that we can experience those kind of fears makes it possible to experience faith. Because when fear takes over, when we experience that type of fear, then it's actually showing us that something is not right in our inner man. Our faith is in fact going in the wrong direction. We're beginning to have faith in harm. We're beginning to have faith in hurt. We're beginning to have faith in evil, in sin, in sickness, in failure, in trouble, in disaster, in rejection, in loneliness, in isolation. That's what we're beginning to have our faith in. Because you know what fear is? Perverted faith. It's faith going in the wrong direction. And you know what? Faith and fear cannot coincide, can they? Because you are having a feeling, having a thought, having an emotion, having a situation based on something that's happening in your future. And you are either choosing faith that God's got it, that God has it under control, that he's going to make a way, that he's going to provide finance, that you are not rejected, that he chose you and you are not alone. You're either going to have faith in that, or you're going to have faith in the fact that you are on your own, that there's no way out of this, that your world's falling apart, that you're not going to be able to have the finances, that you're sick and you'll never recover. It's perverted. Fear is perverted faith. But what does the Bible tell us about fear? The Bible tells us that God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Again, the spirit, the inward man. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us faith. The ability to believe that we can use him and his power and his provision in our lives. He gave us the ability to have that. God intended us to live by the power of indwelling faith in our lives. Isn't that amazing when we actually think about what that means in our life? You know, Leo Harris again, he writes, "Fear should be nothing more than a warning light, and faith should be our master controller." Isn't that a cool image? Faith should be our master controller and fear should be our warning light. And when we begin to feel those feelings of fear, beep, 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 trouble's coming, instead of being like, oh my gosh, hit the crisis button, bam, faith steps in. I feel like we should have like an action movie here today. But you know what I mean? Like, that kind of thing is like, fear is a warning light for us, but what it warns us is to kick our faith into action. Does that make sense? And so everyone has the ability to have faith. The Bible talks about little faith, great faith, unwavering faith. These descriptions are all determined by our use of faith and how we use the faith that we have. Remember that fig tree, the frizzled fig tree. If you have faith and you do not doubt, it also says you can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. That verse we talked about in Hebrews 11:1, which is the great verse about faith, it's saying that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's talking about the fact that we all have the ability to reach beyond ourselves, to be convinced of the things that are not seen. So faith is the anticipation of things that are not perceptual to the natural senses already. That's what faith is. And so we all have the ability to have faith. Another thing that Leo writes, which I think sounds so amazing, it says, when the outreach of faith is maintained without wavering, without doubt, without doubting, the power of God must respond to it. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what that scripture we just read says, doesn't it? So when the outreach of faith is maintained without wavering, without doubt, the power of God must respond to it. When the outreach of faith from the human heart is steadfast and consistent, it will not be influenced by what is seen, heard, or felt, but rather that faith will influence our thoughts, our words, our feelings, and our actions. Faith is an inward motivating power, the driving force of all our lives. So what's that saying is, like, in the natural, when we come across situations that would stimulate fear in us, perverted faith, fear in us, then we can start to find that it's affecting our emotions, that it's affecting our thinkings, that it's affecting the decisions that we make. It's affecting the way that we think the outcome of the situation is going to be. In the same way, if we can have unwavering faith, if we can have assurance and confidence in God, in our situation, which is what faith is, if we can have that and if we can stand on that, it will begin to impact the way that we think. It will begin to impact the way that we feel. It will begin to impact the things that we do and the decisions that we make. If we choose faith, if we choose to call upon the faith that is in our inward man, that will be the thing that impacts our thinking. That will impact what we do and the decisions that we make. And if we understand that, it begins to change our life, doesn't it? It begins to change the way that we live and the way that we let things impact us. You know, when you expect something to happen and you are confident that it will happen, you begin to live as though you already have it. Is that right? I was thinking my mother-in-law, her mother was quite elderly, and she passed away, and it took a little while, but she had an inheritance that was coming. And so she knew that the inheritance was coming, and she knew what the sum that was coming, and she hadn't received the money yet, but she was confident that it was coming, and she was out spending money like she was richy rich. Like, she was there, like, just buying everything, doing things, living as if she had the money, although she already had it. She didn't have it. But she was confident that that money was coming into a bank account, and so she lived as if she already had it. And that might be a terrible example. But when you are confident that something is going to happen, and you know that it's going to happen, you start living according to that confidence, don't you? And so if we can have faith, and we can be confident in that faith, and we can be unwavering in that faith, we can live confidently, and we can live assured that God is going to come through for us. And so that gives us power to be able to move through life and navigate life, full knowing that we have confidence and assurance because we're living out of faith. Not just talking about it, not just reading it, but actually living out of it. We all have faith, but we must use it and we must maintain it. The fourth thing that I want to talk about this morning is that faith can and must be nourished and strengthened. So I want to leave you, not with a big G up, but some practical kind of things that we can apply to our life to be people who live like faith. Can I ask you again, who wants to be somebody who speaks and says something happen? A few more. Good. We're getting there. I'm gradually getting yous across the line. Okay. So three things that we can do to develop our faith. Number one is that we can meditate on the Word of God. Who knows that the Word of God is living and alive? It's not just pretty scriptures that we can read. It is living and alive, and it is transformative in our life. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and by hearing the Word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing and by hearing the Word of the Lord. Full stop, could finish the point right there, but I love to talk, so I won't. In other words, as we receive the Word of God, our faith is built up. The Word of God is food for faith, right? So you have to nourish yourself with the powerful promises of God. Sometimes we just need the Word of God, don't we, to inspire new hope in us. You know, sometimes we just need to hear the Word of God, get it in our spirit, and it makes us come alive again, doesn't it? The Word of God inspires new hope and life in us. You know that saying, you are what you eat? Do you know that saying? Well, what are you eating spiritually? The Bible and the Word is food for growth. We need to nourish ourselves on the Word of the Lord if we want to grow in faith. Number two, faith grows as we walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5 verses 22 says, lists faith as a fruit of the Spirit. In other words, when the Spirit is in us, this is what it produces within us. And it lists faith as a fruit of the Spirit. So as we walk in the Spirit, as we live in relationship with His Spirit, then our faith will grow stronger and stronger because faith is a fruit of the Spirit. How do we do this? We live life in the knowledge and assurance of the new life in Jesus and the fact that Jesus is in us. Sometimes we forget that, don't we? We forget that He is in us. The Bible says that the same power that death could not even hold its hand on is in you. That is in you. Every single person, that is in you. Christ is in us. So we pray and we praise. Who knows that praise is good? Praise is good. Sometimes just getting here and singing, like, what do we sing? You know, the faithfulness song. I love that song. Somebody, give me a line. Huh? The goodness of God. Just sing, of the goodness. That's actually the words. Sing of the goodness of God, doesn't it? Like, just even saying that, all my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been faithful. Just stopping and thinking about the faithfulness of God in our life, it generates faith, doesn't it? Because we remember the goodness of who He is. And so being able to pray in the Spirit, to praise in the Spirit, to edify ourselves, and that's what speaking in the Spirit is really about, isn't it? Edifying ourselves in the Spirit. We need to be able to pray, to praise, and keep ourselves spiritually alert, in tune. Think of a radio, the old wireless. My granddad always used to listen to the TV, have the newspaper and the wireless on at the same time. But you think about the wireless, you know, and you've got to turn the knob to tune into the right frequency. Who knows, sometimes our wireless, our inner wireless, needs a little bit of fine tuning, you know. Sometimes we can bump onto the wrong channel. We need to make sure that we are in tune with the Spirit, because when we're in tune with the Spirit, when we're living life connected to the Spirit, the Bible tells us that faith is a fruit of that kind of living. Okay, the third thing is that faith develops by exercise. Think about it like a muscle. So like any other spiritual muscle, faith develops with exercise and weakens with inactivity. Who knows what happens if you go to the gym a lot and then you stop going to the gym? Your bulky muscles get floppy. Okay? And we don't need no spiritually floppy faith, do we? Right? We need to use our faith like a muscle. It gets stronger. It gets stronger every time that we move in faith. Every time we wake up and we make the decision, today I'm choosing faith over fear. Every time we exercise that, we are bulking people. We are making gains. I think is that right? Did I use that in the right context? Thank you. I'm not very good at the gym. But you know, like, we are making spiritual gains. We are bulking. We are doing what we need to do because it's like a muscle and we need to grow. We don't want to be weak, do we? We want to be strong. James 2 verses 14 to 26, I'm nearly finished, talks about faith without works being dead. If we're just talking about our faith, and this is where I feel really challenged. If I'm just talking about my faith, but then when I'm at footy on Sunday and this lady's telling me how she's just really struggling with her life, and I'm like, oh, that's really sad. But I don't take a step of faith to maybe believe that something could happen in her situation and maybe offer to pray for her. It's like having dead faith. Not actually believing that God can work in my situation is like having dead faith. It's like using the Bible as pretty poetry instead of a living word that can change and transform lives. Alive faith works. Faith thrives on activity, even in times of failure. And who's ever exercised faith and failed? Felt like they failed. Even if at times it fails, something is better than nothing. Is that right? something is better than nothing. So when you're learning to walk and you fall, eventually you don't spend your whole life falling, do you? You know, when a kid learns to walk, they don't fall and then fall forever. Those falls actually enable them to do better next time, to learn how not to fall. Is that, I don't know if that I said that very well, but you know what I'm saying? Is like when someone's learning to do something, their failure actually prepares them to do it better next time. And so don't not exercise faith because of fear of failure. Because those failures, those times where you stepped out in faith and nothing happened, or you stepped out in faith previously and nothing happened, or you believed for something and you didn't see it come to pass, it doesn't mean that it's exercising that faith. It's exercising that faith muscle in our life. Eventually, every child that falls over learns to walk, and they begin to fall less and less. The same principle applies with faith. Work it until it's second nature. That's how you get to be like someone who speaks and sees it happen. You know, it's not just for the Benny Hinns or those extroverted people like Ian Draper, I don't know. You know, faith is not just for those people that are naturally bold. Faith is within every single one of us. And you know what? It's the same kind of faith. The same kind of faith that Gay has is the same kind of faith that Kerry has. The power is unlimited. It's limitless. It's limitless power. But it's all about how we choose to use that power within us, to exercise that power, to work through those times maybe where we're scared we're going to fail or nothing's going to happen, but to keep working at it until it becomes second nature. You know, sometimes when we hear this mountain moving stuff, like when you hear that verse, like you pray for this mountain and it's going to go into the water, you're like, yep, I'll leave that to somebody else. You know, you're going to be like, that's just quite big and quite out there. And I'm just navigating my way comfortably through life. So thanks for the chat, but moving on. But I want to encourage you this morning to maybe think about some of these principles and ask yourself, like I said at the start, what does exercising your faith look like in your family? What does exercising your faith look like when you're at work? What does exercising your faith, you know, when you got 40 kids at kids club, when you're at youth group, when you're at home and you know that kids club's on and you feel like God's telling you to pray for them? What does exercising your faith look like in the day to day? Because we're probably not going to go walking around every day praying for a dead person to rise. I'm being honest with you, okay? It's probably not something we're all going to do every day. But every day we go through situations and circumstances where we have the opportunity to exercise faith. Every day we have the opportunity to exercise faith over fear. Can you give me that one? Every day we can practice that. And so I want to just encourage you. You know, can I tell you, I know I've probably gone for a long time, but I'm nearly going to finish, I promise, is as I've been thinking about this stuff, just about faith and feeling challenged to be a bit more bold and to just actually put into action what I believe, you know, as simple as that, you know, not really even doing anything that different, but just meditating on this stuff at home and maybe praying those prayers, God, help me to just overcome these fears that I have about actually exercising faith in my workplace, in my community. Just simple things like that. God, help my spirit be stronger than my carnal mind and my weak emotions. You know, help my spirit to rise. Help my spirit to be big. You know, in my workplace in the last month, I've had the opportunity, not because I've sought it out, but two of my colleagues have come to me and asked me to pray for them. And one of them started coming to church, not because I invited them, you know. And so it's not necessarily that you have to go out seeking the sick person with the broken leg to pray for them. And, I mean, amazing when we get to that point, hey, and if you've got the faith for it, do it. But, you know, when you're starting to grow in this stuff and you're wanting to step out in this stuff, it can be as simple as being like, yeah, I'm going to pray for you. Yeah, you're welcome to come to church. Yeah, I'm going to have that conversation with that person that I know God's put on my heart for a long time. or maybe the circumstance or situation, or maybe the addiction, or maybe that sinful nature that you've been struggling with for a long time that you can't get. Maybe you're going to exercise your faith to believe that that's going to stop. Maybe you're going to exercise your faith to believe that you can trust God as your provider, that you can trust God as your healer. Maybe you're going to relinquish some control and allow God to actually work in your life. I don't know what it is. I don't know what your mountain is. But I know that Jesus told his disciples, if you believe, you can speak to this mountain and it will be moved into the water. He didn't say a mountain. He said this mountain. So what is your mountain? Maybe that's what you can spend some time thinking about. What is your mountain? Where is God asking you to step out in faith? Where are you limiting God because you feel like the faith isn't strong enough? Because we know this morning that faith is limitless. And we set the boundaries to faith. We limit faith. But this morning, let's not do that. Let's allow God to work in our situation. Can I pray for you this morning? Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that you know our weakness, Lord. You know our humanity and you know the areas maybe where we struggle, Lord. Father, you know every person here. You know every person who might be watching at home online, Father. You know what their mountain is. And so I just pray, Father, that even as we've come around these simple scriptures, these principles that talk about what faith is and the power of faith, Lord, I pray that you would stir something new and fresh in us, Lord. That we wouldn't be people who just talk about faith. We wouldn't just be people who get inspired for an hour at church on Sunday, Father, but we would actually be doers of faith. Lord, that we wouldn't just take these principles and pop them in our pocket, Lord, but they would be principles that we live our life by. And Father, I pray that as we begin to meditate on this, Father, and you begin to bring people, Lord, into our world, Father, that you would give us the confidence and the boldness, that you would cause our spirit man to be stronger than the carnal man, Father, and allow us to just step out in faith and boldness, Lord. Father, for those who have circumstances and situations where their thoughts and their feelings and maybe everything in the natural looks like it's impossible, I pray that you would build faith, Father, in people to believe for a miracle. Lord, I thank you that you're trustworthy. I thank you that you are faithful. I thank you that you are powerful, that you are strong, that you are love, and that nothing is impossible to you. And so, Father, right now, I pray that we would be a people who do not limit faith, but we be a people who step and walk in faith. Lord, that we would be people who are confident and assured that we will see your promises come to pass in our life. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.